On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Children are fascinating, aren't they? They're like people with tiny little heads. Their heads are not that big. These little people, these 3-year-olds and 5-year-olds, they're not fully grown yet. And it's if you just step back and look at these little people running around, it's like invasion of the body snatchers. Because little kids will snatch your bodies and your minds. They take them away. It's amazing. You have these full-grown adults, some of them obesely overweight, walking around the planet, and nothing stops them. Nothing. Except for one thing. These tiny little people called children. These tiny little things with little hands and little feet and little heads. They rule the planet. Have you seen how children rule adults? Adults, like, they turn to putty. They melt. Oh, look at him. Oh, look at, look. He looked. He talked to me. He said a word. He talked. I think he said mommy to me. I think, oh, my God, I worship this little thing. It's so, oh, can I believe this little thing is running around? These little people, they rule our lives. All they got to do is cry a little bit and you'll give them a cookie. They rule us. Adults, they don't have this power over us. When you have an argument with an adult says, I want a cookie, go to hell, you're going to eat it. Get your own cookie, you little piece of slob. Go get your own cookie. What are you eating cookies for anyway? We're not affected by our own people. But these tiny little children, they rule, man. They rule us. If they kick their feet or shed a tear, we stop in our tracks and we get everything they need. Do you want to take a nap? Do you want some more food? Do you want a bottle of milk? What do you want? What do you want? What do you want? I'll do anything. I'll do anything for you, tiny little alien people. Boy, it's amazing. I don't remember that when I was a kid. I think I kicked an ice cream because I wanted things, and my parents just looked at me and said, shut up, shut up, shut up. You're ruining our lives. Shut up. I don't know. I don't remember. See, that's the thing. When you're a tiny little child, you don't remember this stuff. I don't remember 2-3 years old. I might remember selected little moments, but other than that, I don't remember much at all. I don't remember even what I had for dinner last night. I didn't even know what I did last night. I know there was a last night. My memory isn't as good as it used to be. But these kids, man, they rule. They rule. When an adult sneezes, the other adult says, bless you, whatever. Can you cover your mouth, please? When a child sneezes, oh, my God, the child sneezed. It's going to have diphtheria. It's got to call the child. My daughter has to call. My son has to call. Oh, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Oh, no. Put a blanket over it. Do something. Call the doctor. Call the doctor. Admit the child to the hospital immediately. It could be something serious. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, the child sneezed. Oh, my God. 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 Man, they have such power over us. I noticed that yesterday. I saw kids in a restaurant, and they were they ruled, man. They ruled. When the waiter came over, can I get you anything? Can you get can we get the macaroni and cheese for our son here? And can we get it quickly so he doesn't go crazy and start throwing all the glasses on the floor and spraying the whole room with diarrhea? Can you bring the mac and cheese right?
Yes, right immediately. Well, oh my, oh, just restrain the child first. 1 second, I'll be right back with the macaroni and cheese.
They rule, man. These little kids, they get whatever they want and when they want it. They are prime. When literally all they do is just sit there, eat, and sleep, and maybe throw a little play in between. That's really all they should be doing. They have no responsibilities. They don't even have jobs. No job. Can you imagine a 3-year-old kid without a job? What's that about? They don't even have to talk. Some of them can't even talk. So what's the point of even talking? You don't have to do anything when you're a kid. You just sit back and let these large size human beings do everything for you. Bathe you, feed you, get you everything that you need. All you have to do is sit there and smoke a cigarette and have a glass of whiskey. That's all a child needs to do. They rule. They get everything they want when they want it. So, do I like children? For what they are, yeah. I understand what they are. They're human beings. Of course, if you're the parents of this child, then you're going to hate me because don't ever talk about my child that way. But when you're looking at the large universe and you realize that this little childhood thing is but a mere speck in one's adulthood life, you're a child maybe, you're a little child maybe for 10 years, maybe 13 years, then you're bar mitzvahed. 13 years of a child, and then you got about another 70 left over, plus. I mean, 13 compared to 70, I think the 70 part is far more significant. So come on, man. If we didn't have adults, there'd be no Uber drivers. Did you ever think of that? That would be devastating for most of the planet. So kids, you know, you don't have a Children's Day. There's no Children's Day. There's a Mother's Day. There's a Father's Day. There's no Children's Day. Do you know why there's no Children's Day? Because that would be annoying.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
You sound really grumpy, don't I?
Whatever.
I know. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's this. It's funny during the, this is, I'm telling you ahead of time, it's funny when we're doing this opening here, all of a sudden in the studio here, the lights blinked. They dimmed and they came back up again. And it's funny because when I was a kid, I used to think, oh, the lights are going out. As an adult, it's like, am I having a heart attack? did I faint and then just come back again? The last thing that I think about is that there was probably power failure or something, or the lights blinked because of the electric company. That's not the way I think anymore. Oh my God, did I black out for a second? I immediately check my eyes. Did the lights actually flash? Oh my God. So, oh, another ball game. How are you? How are you doing today? Good to be with you on this fine, fine day. You make my day. You make my day. You do. You do. Actually, you don't. Just sounded good at the time. What's the point of being honest anyway? What's the point? What's the difference? Where does it get you? Have you ever tried to be honest about something and then found out that was a bad idea? Honesty didn't work there. Being honest is not always a good idea. Sometimes lying is far more easier. And you shouldn't lie in order to deceive. But you should lie in order just to get on with it, you know. Just Honey, how does this dress look on me? How does this dress look? Does it make me look fat? No. Because nothing can make you look fat. Oh, you're such a liar. I know I am. Now, can we move on to some other subject, please? Stop making me lie to you. You're making me lie to you. It's so much easier just to, you know, how are things going, Ron? Fine. They're going great. They're not going great. I just don't have, I don't have the energy, the want, the need, the interest to tell you about how I'm feeling. So let's just say things are fine and just you get on with your life, you mow your lawn, and I'll go change the batteries and the smoke alarms and everybody will be happy. Lying is so much easier. So much easier. Where are you? Where are you? You're supposed to be home from work an hour ago. Where are you? Oh, I had to stop off. I had to stop off and get gas. Oh, okay. Oh, okay. See you soon. Love you. Bye. Love you. Bye. And get gas. If she went out to the car and looked at the gas gauge, she'd see that I didn't get gas. But Ron, then she'd have to know what your reading in the car was before you left, and chances of her doing that are nil. So go with the gas thing. It's a good lie. But what would take me so long at the gas station? How do I explain that? Air in the tire, man. Air in the tire. Your tire was going down. You had to speak to a service guy. They had to patch your tire. You needed gas. Things happened. You couldn't find your wallet. You slipped on the ice and you fell and you cracked your head open. You had to go to emergency ward. You came back and finished loading your gas tank. Now you're home. Something. Just something, man. Just something. Yeah, lying is just, you know, there are bad lies. There are bad lies to cover things up. That's not good. That's not good because that's being untruthful. But just saying something, you know, just to move on, that's okay, I think. I mean, I don't do it. Oh, God. Oh, no, I don't do it. Oh, I never lie. I'm always tell the truth. Always. Always. Anyway, wouldn't you rather spend time with me than with your friends? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Let me tell you how much I'd rather spend time with you more than my friends. I don't even want to spend time with my friends. How about that? I don't even have friends. So I don't even know what I'm lying about, to be honest with you. What? That question was just stupid. How can I compare you with something that I don't have? I mean, I don't understand what you're saying to me. I don't understand. Did you ever, are you with your boyfriend or your girlfriend or your spouse or whatever, or your cat, I don't know. And you're with your boyfriend, girlfriend, spouse, and they start talking and you totally aren't listening to what they're saying. They're telling you about something that happened in their past or their opinion about something stupid like that. And your mind actually goes somewhere else while they're talking and you don't even hear what they're saying. And then like some type of trance, you come out of it and they're still talking about the thing that you didn't even know what they're talking about. It's like, wow, I drifted away. They didn't even realize it. What's going on now? What is happening here? I look out for that because I can notice it. If you're talking to somebody, look in their eyes. Always look in their eyes are the doorway to the soul. I don't know what the soul is. I think it's the bottom of a shoe. I'm not too sure. I know that in a restaurant you can get a fillet of soul. Anyway, look in their eyes. When you're talking to them, you're relaying a story or a thought or something. Look in their eyes. And if their eyes are looking at you, you're good. If the pupil of the eyes will actually start to drift off to the side. It's true. Check it out sometime. Talk about something that's totally boring. And then watch their eyes drift off to the side. They start looking at the entrance to buildings. They start looking out windows. Their attention, it goes anywhere but what you're talking about. The eyes are the direction of the mind. It's fascinating, actually. And then here's what you do. When the eyes start drifting to the side, and you do the test. And here's how I do the test. I will talk about something boring so that their eyes do drift, because this is part of the test. I will say, when I was a little kid, I used to play on the front steps all the time, and Bobby would come over and Joey would come over, and we'd just sit there and we'd talk and we'd talk and we'd just sit there and we'd talk. Then the eyes will drift away from the person you're talking to. The eyes will drift away. And then you start saying something really absurd and see if the eyes come back again. If the eyes come back again, then they're still listening somewhat. If the eyes don't come back again and you're saying something totally absurd, then you know they're not listening to you and they don't care about you ever. Here's how you do the test. Yeah, Bobby came over and we were sitting on the front steps and we were talking and then we sat on the steps some more. The eyes drift away from the person you're talking to. The eyes start drifting. Then you throw the test in. And Bobby and I were talking and he lowered his pants, took his penis out and stuck it in my mouth and wanted me to... And if their eyes come back, then you know they're listening. Also, you've ended your relationship because that was a pretty sick thing to say. But if their eyes don't come back and you're going through all that explanation about Bobby and his penis and the eyes don't come back, dump them. Dump them quickly because something's really wrong with your relationship. They're totally not. They have the ability to screen you out easily, easily. It's something as absurd and ridiculous and as disgusting as that won't even bring them back to reality. You have really bored the crap out of them if that's the case. I'm telling you, man, I know where it's at. I've been there. Ask Bobby. I've been there.
Have you ever wondered how Ron Van Dam manages to sound so damn sexy podcast after podcast after podcast? It's simple. No pants. Ever. Pants are for suckers. You are listening to The Ron Van Dam Show. Pants-free podcasting at its finest.
Hey, let's check the White House and see what's going on in the White House, shall we? There they are, running around. Look at Trump. Look at Trump. He's so stupid with the seltzer bottle. Look at Trump there. And the tweets, the stupid little tweets. Look at that. Look at all those people running around like they don't know what's there. Look at that. That's so funny. Look at that. Look at that. Oh, my God. Look at Sarah Huckabee. Look at her. Look, she just slipped on a banana peel. Sarah Huckabee, you're so funny. There's the chief of staff, John Kelly. What are you doing, John? John, what are you doing, John? Look at Pence. Look at Pence. Look at him. Look at him. Look at him. Look at him. He just... He just got a pie in the face. Look, Pence just got a pie in the face. He's wiping it off. It's so funny. Look at Trump. He's insulting people. Look, he's just standing there insulting people. Oh, man, this is funny. Oh. Gotta love that White House, man. That is so funny. Wow. Oh. Thank God we have some comedy relief, huh? Wow, that was funny in the White House. Whew. Anyway, it's really not that funny, is it? So today, the top of the show, I started talking about kids, those little things with the big heads that run around. I've talked about them, those uncontrollable little things. We're going to end the show talking about them, too, because we have an expert here. And the question is, what age do you start telling your child that it's time to do things? You know, it's time to go to school. It's time to learn so that you can grow up and be like the people in the White House, pretty much. So you can grow up and be from a little brat to a big brat. So kindergarten, nursery school, preschool, I don't know. 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 How do you set your kid up to learn? Do you have to instill those values as a parent? Does the school instill those values? What does it take for a kid to be successful in school? So I thought we'd talk about that today. It was a thought. It was just a thought. Sorry, it was just a thought. I'm sorry. So we're going to take a quick break, a quick commercial break. And when we come back, we'll speak to our guest about what I just talked about.
Let others say that water is just water.
Aquamira.
Each bottle of Aquamira, all-natural, artisanal, gourmet lifestyle water, Aquamira, contains only the finest, hand-selected waters, gently and sustainably culled from free-range, certified glacial streams in fair trade countries.
Aquamira.
Skillfully aged in stainless steel, cruelty-free tanks, and quintuple filtered according to age-old Nepalese watersmithing techniques. Each non-GMO serving of Aquamira all-natural artisanal gourmet lifestyle water is allergen-free, safe for use on pets, and contains zero trans fats. Yes, let others say that water is just water. For the true discerning connoisseur, there is only one. There is only
Find Aquamira water in handy 42 packs in the beverage section of your local convenience store, liquor store, or gas station. Free bottle with every purchase of a Take This Job and Shove It lottery scratch-off ticket while supplies last. Aquamira all-natural gourmet lifestyle water is bottled by the overarching beverage conglomeration corporation, LLC.
Hi, Ron. Good morning.
Hi, Dominique. How are you?
I'm doing really well. I'm in New York City. How are you?
I'm doing really well. I'm in Boston.
Okay. Woohoo!
Somehow I can hear you perfectly. That's amazing, isn't it? Okay. Dominique Ciccarelli joins us now. She's an EDM. I don't know. What is an EDM?
I have a master's in education from your local town, Harvard.
Oh.
So, master's in education.
Okay. All right. She is an education expert with Kumon North America. And we're talking about getting your child a head start, getting ready for kindergarten, which is traumatic for both the child and the parent, I assume, still.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't. I know it is a huge transition in the life of a child, but it doesn't have to be so difficult.
Yeah. Are there still a large percentage of children that go to nursery school or preschool before they go to kindergarten? Or is it pretty much split where kindergarten is the first educational experience?
I would say that it would be pretty split, but there are more and more kids now that are going to preschool, especially now there's this push for universal pre-K around the country, and so now there are lots more kids have access to programs than they did before, and so I would say, you know, it's on the rise for sure, having this early learning experiences.
Okay. Now, we use the term kindergarten readiness. What exactly is that?
Kindergarten readiness is not just about knowing the alphabet and numbers. It's a whole host of really important skills to show that the kids are mature and that they're kind of ready for the classroom. And so some of those skills involve their speaking and listening skills, their eagerness to learn, as well as their attention span.
Uh-huh. Okay. It sounds like you're talking about adults and half the adults that I know, but I know you're not. I know you're not.
There's a lot of social skills that are, you know, really important too.
Yeah. So it sounds like if a child is equipped with this when they head out for kindergarten, that they are pretty much set up for success.
Yes, it is true. Research does show that kids that start kindergarten with a really strong start with their social skills and, you know, their ability to operate in the classroom and have a strong foundation or, you know, a little bit of an understanding of their math and their reading, they do really well throughout their elementary school. So it kind of, that the momentum stays with them all throughout school. So it is really important.
Now, how can I tell if I have a child that age, if that child is indeed ready for kindergarten or not?
Some things that parents can look for are their your child's speaking and listening skills. So how are they able to communicate? So when you tell them directions, are they able to follow it? Are you able to tell them multi-step directions? Yeah. You know, are they able to pay attention and follow directions when it's a different adult that's giving it to them? So those are, you know, some of the things parents can look for. And also the child's, you know, ability to communicate their own wants and needs can go a really long way for classroom readiness. And, you know, their social skills, so parents can just be on the lookout and check out how their kids act in groups and how they interact with their peers.
Yep.
How do they handle, like, waiting their turn and, you know, sharing things and being able to handle disappointment if something doesn't go their way or they don't win at a game. And so those are, you know, some things. And also parents can also get their kids ready for kindergarten by taking a little bit extra time out of their day to helping their kids to build their skills of independence. So helping the kids to giving them an extra minute or two to help them tie their shoe, or the kids tie their shoe on their own, or zip their own jacket up, or hang their own coat up. Those kind of self-reliant skills can go a long way as well to helping the kids to be ready for school.
Yeah, this makes a lot of sense, I'll tell you. It really does. How do we do that? I mean, if the child needs the preparation or you think it's a good idea, how indeed do we initiate this?
Sure. One thing that's great for kids when they're at preschool age and even in elementary school too is just getting in the habit of reading books each day. And, you know, you can have your child pick the book out or, you know, to make them more excited about it. Maybe they like characters that are, you know, dogs, or they have a particular topic they like trains. And so helping the kids to really become more eager to learn and more curious through book reading is really critical. Alphabet books are great for preschoolers, as well as counting books, and they can help with letter recognition and number recognition and even sound correspondence. So the kids are starting to, like, make the connection between letter sounds and words and make it really fun for them.
Sounds like fun. And how much of a commitment is it to go through this program?
Well, there are with book reading, you can go to a library, and there's lots of free libraries where you can, like, check out books.
Uh-huh.
Or, you know, you can buy books at the bookstore.
Yeah.
Also, there's early education programs, and that can vary as far as the price. But those do a great job of helping students to build their eagerness to learn and their social skills.
Yeah.
And then there's the Kumon program. They do a great job with that. And Kumon does even more to help kids to build their attention span, help them learn how to read, be really great with numbers, and even their fine motor skills. So you know, if you join the Kumon program at 3 years old, they'll be more than ready by the time they get to kindergarten, and they actually will be, like, probably one of the best in their class.
You know, what a great age that is. I mean, unless they're running around the house screaming, but what a great age that is, because they haven't really been introduced to social media, sitting in front of a computer screen for 8 hours a day. They watch TV and they watch their little shows and their characters, and they learn how to count from that as well. But they're so unspoiled by the influences of life, that it's so fresh. Because by the time they get to be, like, in junior high school, they're consumed by society.
Yes, and when they're, as you're mentioning, like, when they're, like, young minds are like a sponge, they're ready to absorb so much. That's why they ask so many questions and observe everything. So it's really a great opportunity then to, you know, get them really interested and curious about learning and making learning really fun for the kids and finding out, you know, figuring out ways in which you can just take your everyday activities and make them into, like, learning opportunities, and then kind of building in that extra little foundation by, you know, maybe incorporating a little bit more with the book reading.
And
getting them really excited about it.
That's what it's about. I do a lot of conversations with experts on education, such as yourself, and what I've learned is that it's not so much the teacher that's teaching, although there has to be quality there, but it's the student. If they don't want to learn, they're not going to learn anything, no matter how great the teacher is. If they want to learn, they're going to get a mountain of information that they can put into use. But it's really the education of the child to accept information or not.
Yeah, you bring up a really great point, and it is important for parents to always praise their kids for knowing like correct answers, especially when they're in this early, like a preschooler or they're really young, and also just being really encouraging. What happens sometimes, unfortunately, accidentally, you know, maybe the kids feel a little criticized, and so they might start like shutting down or become less like curious about learning. So they're less likely to want to like, you know, enjoy learning. And so parents should just kind of keep in mind that, you know, if your child says something that's incorrect, like maybe they, you know, the wrong color, the wrong number, you know, just give them the right answer. And when they do say it correctly, give them lots of praise. And then that will kind of encourage them, that positive reinforcement will encourage them to keep wanting to learn.
Cool. Well, I've learned a lot just from that. Dominique, thank you very much for your time. Where do we go for more information?
You can visit kumon.com, and you can find tips for kids for all ages and all ability levels. And you can find the closest Kumon Center to you, and you can go in and find out more information there.
There you have it. Thanks so much for your time. We'll talk again.
Thanks, Ron. Have a great day.
Bye-bye.
Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen, all wrapped up in a package with a tidy little bow on the top. Wouldn't it be nice if we could wrap everything up in little packages with bows on them? It would look like Christmas all the time, for no reason whatsoever. I like that. My coffee is extremely bitter today, and I don't know why. I stopped putting sugar in coffee a couple of years ago. You would think my blood sugar level would go down. Nah, it didn't affect it too much. Not at all. As I said a few weeks ago, if you were listening and your eyes weren't wandering off to the side, that I was going to start today with my no sugar week. I was going to go an entire month, actually, and have no added sugar whatsoever. And very small bursts of cholesterol, nothing really heavy cholesterol-wise, no ice creams, no dairy, no nothing like that. And today's the first day, and I have stuck to it. I've had absolutely nothing of any cholesterol or sugar to this point, and I've been up for about 4 hours now. Can I continue this for another 30 days? No way, no chance in hell. But I'm going to try. I'm going to try like a baby taking its first steps. Notice that when I refer to babies and young children, I refer to them as it and they. Like they are an entire separate race of people. It's not a he or a she. It's a they. It's an it. That says a lot about me. I don't know what it says about me. But it says a lot of what I don't know what it says about me. This is getting too confusing, so it's time to stop. It's time for you to stop right now. Just stop it. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new show. Until then, oh, by the way, thank you. I don't know what I'm thanking you for, actually. I'll mention it again because I am very proud. Monday's show was the 1,000th show that I have done on this podcast thing. We've done 1,000 shows. And the odd thing is, and this is the sick, bizarre thing, the Podbean Network is a network which we do this with, and they have all 1,000 shows that you can listen to at any time. You right now could say, I want to binge listen to the Ron Van Dam Show. I want to listen to 1,000 shows. They have them all. They're all listed by date. 1,000 of them. Go to it. Podbean.com, The Ron Van Dam Show, or ronvandam.podbean.com, or New England Broadcasting, Podbean, New England Broadcasting. I think that's what it is. I don't know what it is, to be honest with you. But they're all there, every single one of them. They've created enough space to house 1,000 of my shows. All in one place. You people are sick. Have yourselves a wonderful day, and I wish you peace. I really, really do. I do. I do.